great that you're here. It's great that you're here. And it's great that you're here. It's great that you're here. Great that you're here. Great that Joey's here. Yeah, Jamie, it's great that you're here too. So I was just, I was liking Lance's shirt today. I reckon if we all practice this throughout the service, you'll probably get a better message today. So if everyone...
Sorry. Something about this shirt. I got this in Bali. I went into a surf shop to go and look at surfboards, as you do. But Smile is an organisation that started up in Indonesia only a few years ago. If you buy a T-shirt or... I'm used to a microphone stand. You buy an item of their clothing, they will donate a school uniform or another item of clothing to people that need it. And they started across Indonesia and they're branching out over sort of Asia in the last few years. So jump on Smile. It's not just an action. It's an action.
That's awesome. Let's thank Lance for that. And let's all practice that during the sermon today. So let's all practice it on 3, 2, 1. Oh, you guys are so pretty. You're like the prettiest church in Hobart. So we've been doing a series. Oh, wow, we've still got the spiritual keys happening. Isn't that wonderful? Can you feel that? It's the presence of the Lord. Doing a good job there, Joey. Do you want to do this in the entire service? We can keep going. All right. Oh, all right. You can stay up. When I finish my prayer, then you can depart from this place, okay? All right, cool. So we've been doing a series on running your own race. And today, I want to share a message on running a supernatural race, running supernatural. So my thought before I pray is, are you running just a natural race? Or are you running a supernatural race? Because anyone who is born of spirit, you're not called to chase and just live for the things of this world. You're not just called to live a good life, to get a good marriage, to get a good job, to get a good house, to have a good family, and then just fade away. You're actually called by God to live a supernatural life. A life that brings hope, a life that brings light, a life that's not just contained by the parameters of what we see in the physical, but a life that actually transforms things through the power of Jesus Christ. So speaking prophetically, believing for miracles, praying for healings. You're not called just to live a spiritual Sunday, but a supernatural every day. I just really felt that was the key thing I wanted to impress to everyone here today. You're not called to live just a spiritual Sunday. You're called to live a supernatural every day. Every single one of us. Not just me. Not just Dave. Not just the people on the front row. Not just leaders. Not just the prayer intercessory sort of people. Every single one of us is called to have a supernatural every day, not just spiritual Sundays. So I want to pray with that thought in mind, and then I'm going to share this message. God, we just thank you so much that you've called each and every single one of us here, Lord. That it says in your word that you know the plans you have for us. Plans not to harm us, but to give us a hope and a future. That it says that you prepared things for us in advance. You prepared good works for us in advance. Lord, that it says in your word that you were filled by the Holy Spirit to open the eyes of the blind, to set captives free, to declare the year of the Lord's favor. And God, that in the same way, that we're called in that same way. Anyone who's had an encounter with Jesus Christ and has been filled with the Spirit of God, that you have not just a natural race for him, God, you have a supernatural race for him. So Holy Spirit, we pray you would speak to us prophetically, you would encourage us collectively, and you would empower us to do the things you've called us to do in this city. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody said, amen. Thank you, Joey. Let's thank Joey for being incredible on the keyboard. It is a keyboard, isn't it? It's not piano. Yeah, cool. Just making sure that I'm saying the correct thing. Now, a couple of weeks ago, who was here a couple of weeks ago when I was talking about what are you running on? A few people, a few smiles. Just remember, smile. That's the key thing of today. If you get nothing else out of this, remember smile. And actually, no, remember that Jesus loves you and you should you should love him too, because that's a really good thing. But I was talking out of 1 Kings 18:46, where we read this account of a guy named Elijah. And Elijah, he turned off the tap of heaven and actually caused drought in the land of Israel. And then he got his servant to run back. And on the seventh time, the servant came back and said, I see a cloud about the size of a man's fist, and it's coming for us. And Elijah then says, oh, guess what? There's going to be a terrific rainstorm that's about to come. So you better hurry. He tells this to Ahab, and Ahab starts riding away in his chariot. And then Elijah does something incredible. Elijah actually outruns a chariot, just casually outruns a chariot. It says, then the Lord gave special strength to Elijah. He tucked his cloak into his belt and ran ahead of Ahab's chariot all the way to the entrance of Jezreel. And a couple of weeks ago when I shared this, did you know that a chariot goes over like 50 to 60 kilometers an hour? That's pretty fast. Do you know that a Usain Bolt can only run at 50 kilometers an hour for a short period of time? Yeah, this chariot ticks along comfortably at 50 Ks. And guess what? Elijah decides to give a chariot a head start and then manages to outrun the chariot. I tell you what, that is not just incredible, that's miraculous. Do you know in the same way that this is an Old Testament story, that it says that God chose people in the Old Testament, appointed them to be spokespersons or spokespeople on behalf of God to bring transformation, to bring revelation, to bring breakthrough to the people of Israel, that each and every single one of us is called to be an ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you're not called just to run in your own strength. You're called to run supernaturally. Each and every single one of us. God doesn't want you just to operate out of a place of comfort, but he wants you to operate out of a place of calling, operating out of a place where you're fueled and led by the Holy Spirit. So my thought for today is this: are you running a natural race or are you running a supernatural race? Because I would hate to get to the end of my life and look back and go, wow, I achieved a lot of good things, but I didn't achieve the things that God wanted me to achieve. And in the same way, I think there's this bit of a pull between the ways of the world and the ways of the Spirit in each and every single one of us. And it says in Ephesians 6:12, for we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in the dark world, and against evil spirits in heavenly places. In Colossians 1:15 to 17, it says, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. For through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, authorities in unseen worlds. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before everything else and holds all creation together. Whether you know it or aware of it or not, we are living in a spiritual world. You might think to yourself, well, I don't think this world's that spiritual. It's all physical. That's because you're not aware of the powers and the principalities. I'm telling you that if it says it in the Word of God, then it's true. We can trust this Word. This Word is steadfast. It is strong. It's a solid foundation. If it says it in the Word of God, then it's true. We are in a spiritual world. So whether you know it or not, whether you perceive it or not, whether you're aware of it or not, we are here in a supernatural existence. You know, it's actually one thing also to be aware of supernatural. It's another thing to operate in it. You know, some people, you might have watched movies like Supernatural, or you might have, been to church meetings where all of a sudden people have received healings. Has anyone ever seen been in a church service where someone's received a healing? Yeah? Awesome. So it's one thing to be aware of it, but it's another thing to operate in it. You know, You can attend something where God moves mightily, but it's another thing to be the actual catalyst of faith, to be the one that brings that healing into place. But I'm telling you this not to make you feel like that, oh, if I haven't seen that, I'm a lesser person. If I haven't prayed for that, I'm a lesser person. No. Hear me right. God wants to be active in every person's faith in this place. Not just in the person that's done it before. He wants to do it in each and every single one of us. He wants you to be the catalyst of faith that brings healing. He wants you to be the catalyst of faith that brings a miracle. He wants you to be the catalyst of faith that speaks prophetically to a situation that's in a bad place and see it actually steer away and change and go to the place where God's calling it to be. He actually has that for each and every single one of you. Not just for the person that happens to be holding the mic at the time. Not just for people like Corey Turner who was here 9 months ago. You know, that operating in the supernatural is an opportunity for everyone. As a child of God, as a Christian, it's actually a right of a Christian. It's a right of a spirit-filled Christian to be able to operate in the supernatural. You know, when I look at the book of Acts, you read about Paul and you read about Peter. Both of these guys, on numerous occasions, they saw healings, they saw exorcisms, they saw miraculous things take place. They had miraculous escapes. There was a time where they were trapped in prison and they were locked in the inner dungeon. And then through prayer, through praise, through worship, all the chains broke off them, all the doors opened up, and they were set free. But it's incredible that this miracle took place not so that they could be like, oh, look how awesome we are. That miracle took place so that they could actually bring the good news of Jesus Christ to the guards and the guards' family. And I want to encourage you that the supernatural race that God's called you to is not so that you can just be like, oh, look how awesome I am. I prayed for someone and there was a healing. That's an awesome thing. But he actually calls us to do that so it can be a platform to testify of the good news of Jesus Christ. You are called. I am called. We are called to not run just a natural race, but a supernatural race. And the purpose behind that is not just so we can experience warm fuzzies, not just so we can experience healings, not just so we can experience miracles like chains being broken off us, like doors of depression being opened up and joy being instilled in people. No. That takes place so that it can be a platform for the gospel of Jesus Christ to impact and bring salvation to people that are in darkness. You are called to be light. So let's make sure that collectively, that we don't just read the book of Acts and go, well, that was an incredible thing for them back then. But let's continue on the book of Acts and recognize that we have a part to play in the grand scheme, in the grand plan that God has for our city of Hobart. Not just a Sunday spirituality, but an everyday supernaturally. In the book of Acts 2:42-47, it says this. We shared this the other week. It says, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, communion, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over all of them. And the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. As a church, we're called to form community. And in this place of community, we'll take communion, we'll break bread, we'll devout ourselves to teaching. That's why it's so important to get connected into a connect group so you can actually study the word together. Not just studying it in isolation, but studying it together. But it's incredible, but when you build a community like this, this is when then the Holy Spirit, it's like a platform, gives permission for God to move. Miraculous signs and wonders. All the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property, possessions, shared money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day. See, it wasn't just a Sunday spirituality, it was an everyday supernaturally. They met every day. How do you reckon it would be if we actually started doing that? Jen's looking low. I've got two kids. I've got work. You know, it's a crazy thought. But can you imagine if we actually said, hey, look, every day, let's just meet here and pray. Let's just meet here and share food. Let's just meet here and expect God to move. I reckon we'd see a real shift. But The reality is we might not be able to meet in this sort of setting every single day, but I reckon I can say pretty confidently that probably 5 days a week, if you actually try just a little bit, you'd be able to meet with people from this congregation in some way, shape or form. Whether it's over coffee, you might have a lunch break and happen to grab coffee with someone. Whether it's in a connect group on a Tuesday or Thursday or whatever day of the week suits you. Whether it's a Friday with youth group. Whether it's a, I don't know, there's plenty of other things. There's plenty of opportunities. But let's find ways to encourage one another and connect with one another. They worshipped together at the temple each day, met in homes, shared meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God, enjoying the goodwill of people, and each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. We're not called to a Sunday spirituality. You are called to an everyday supernaturally. An everyday supernaturally. So how do we run an everyday supernatural race? How do we do that? What is the plan? What is the thing that we have to do to actually experience an everyday supernaturally? The first one that I want to throw out to you is this. And for those that have been around church for a little while, you'd probably agree with me. I well and truly hope you do. But you'd probably already know this one. The first thing is to be filled. To be filled with the Holy Spirit. You can't actually operate and live a supernatural life in isolation from the Holy Spirit. You actually need the Holy Spirit to fill you, to be able to empower you and enable you to live this supernatural life I'm talking about. You can't do it without the Holy Spirit. If you're trying to do it by strength or might, but not by the Spirit, then that's a futile task. We need to be filled by the Holy Spirit. And there's some people that have already been filled by the Holy Spirit here. But looking across this room, I don't know if you've been filled with the Holy Spirit or not. But what I do know that in the book of Acts, whenever people gave their lives to Christ, it says that the apostles, the disciples, the people who were preaching at that time would lay hands on people and they'd be filled with the Holy Spirit. And the thing I want to see happen tonight is if you know in your heart that you haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit, that you've just been running a natural race, but you actually want to run the race, this supernatural race I'm talking about, then the first thing that you need to do is obviously repent and ask Christ to be your Lord and Savior. But the second thing is to allow people to come around you and pray for the Holy Spirit to fill you. And I would love to do that with you tonight. If you know that you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, I would love to do that. A couple of weeks ago, we actually spent a whole heap of time doing that. And I know some people encountered the Holy Ghost that night, that they were filled by the Holy Spirit. It says in Acts 2 that Jesus promised the Holy Spirit. That's in John chapter 15, he promises the Holy Spirit. But in Acts 2, it talks about how they waited together in an upper room until the Holy Spirit filled them on the day of Pentecost. And I want to encourage you, if you haven't been filled with the Holy Spirit yet, when we spend some time worshipping after, wait on God. Allow some people to come around you and pray for you, to pray with you, to ask the Holy Spirit to fill you. Because you can't run a supernatural race without being filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus promised this in the book of John. He says, if you love me, obey my commandments, and I'll ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads you into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him, but you know him because he lives with you and later will be in you. So the first thing to actually run a supernatural race, to not just have a spiritual Sunday, but a supernatural every day, is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. The second one is to feed the Holy Spirit or to feed your spirit. Do you know at times, I think each and every single one of us have tried diets at times. You did a great one this week, did you? Wow. Well done, Jen. Congratulations. 5.5 kilos. That is called the gastro diet. If you would like a dose of it, there is something seriously wrong with you, and we'll pray for you. But it is a good and effective way to lose weight. So, do not sign up to that one. But I think all of us can relate to trying diets at times to lose weight or to gain weight and shred, like Dan Nyhaus at the back there. What we take in actually helps transform us or helps us shred or lose weight. But in the same way, when we actually choose to start having a diet, generally there's this like tearing between us, between going to the things that we're used to eat and eating the things that we've decided would eat. Does anyone relate to that feeling? You know, even this week I decided I'd be really disciplined. This week I decided that, it wasn't fasting, but I decided that I just wouldn't eat after 6 o'clock. And the only day that it was an exception to that was on Saturday. I was hanging out with a few people and ate a heap of food. But every other day, I decided I'm not going to eat after 6 o'clock. I just thought I'm going to try to set a discipline in place. But the reality is, for the last about, I don't know how many weeks, I've been munching out on delicious, what are those, almondite biscuits, those Dutch fingers. So good, so good. They're like Dutch glory. I was having the, I'd just get home at like 10 o'clock at night and be like, sweet, I'm going to have a hot drink and three of those. So then all of a sudden, when I decided to put this discipline in place, that I was like, this week, I'm going to not eat after six. I'd get home and I'd be like, I get all antsy and it's like, I know they're in the cupboard. I know that they're waiting for me. I know in the same way that my spirit is yearning for them, they're yearning for me. They're saying, eat me, Daniel. You love me, eat me. See, the reality is that our spirit is a lot like Dan Pastor's tummy. It yearns and craves for different things. Sometimes it yearns and craves for the things of the spirit, but other times it can yearn and crave for things that are probably not so healthy for us. In the book of Matthew, Jesus is undergoing temptations. And in Matthew 4:4, he says to the devil, after he's been fasting for 40 days, the devil says to him, hey, you have the power. Why don't you turn that rock into a loaf of bread? You're hungry. Feed yourself. But Jesus says to him, no, the scriptures say people do not live on bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. In the same way that you're not called for just a spiritual Sunday, but an everyday supernatural, you're not called just to have a buffet on Sunday or a weekly loaf here on Sunday. You're called to have daily bread. You need to be feeding yourself every single day of the week. And if you're anything like me, I don't just eat once during the day. I like to eat lots of times during the day. And then I inject a thing called coffee at times into the equation. I take different things to supplement my food. I don't know if coffee is that healthy. But, you know, in the same way, you might need to read a bit of the word in the morning, pray and worship during your downtime at 10:30 in the mid-morning. You might need to enjoy just another morsel of scripture at lunchtime. I don't know. Generally, I don't just eat once a day. Generally, I eat throughout the day. So I want to encourage you in the same way. If you want to feed your spirit, if you want to not just have a spiritual Sunday, but a supernatural every day, then you need to feed your spirit. You need to be giving it food. 1 Peter 2:2 says, like newborn babies longing for pure milk of the word, so that by it you may grow in respect to salvation. You know, we're called to consume this so that we can grow into the people that God's called us to be. So the first one is to be filled with the Spirit. The second one is to feed the Spirit. And the third one is to be led by the Spirit. To be led by the Spirit. In Galatians 5:10, it says, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, so you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfishness, ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. So let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. They won't see his kingdom come and will be done here on earth. But on the flip side, everyone say the flip side. It says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. There is no laws against such things. We need to be led by the Holy Spirit. Each and every single one of us, every single day. If we want to experience a supernatural every day, it's not going to happen through satisfying the desires of the flesh. It's only going to happen through feeding your spirit and satisfying the desires of the spirit. Being in communion, constant relationship with God. Pressing into His presence. Allowing Him to take the lead. You know, my grandma and granddad, they used to do ballroom dancing. And they were actually really, really good at it. Me, on the other hand, I suck. I suck at dancing. I'm good at interpretive dance. Like, you know, I can do like the butterfly flying up and exploding. And then I can do incredible interpretive dance. But ballroom dancing, on the other hand, I'm terrible at it. But one of the keys about ballroom dancing is one person's got to take the lead. You know, it wasn't my grandma trying to lead for part of it, then my granddad trying to lead for part of it, then my grandma trying to lead for part of it, then my granddad. You know, my grandma just fully would trust my granddad's leading. And it was actually in the submission to not being trying to take the lead, but allowing her husband to lead, that they were able to achieve all these awards and win competitions all across England. And I want to encourage you in the same way, for you to start seeing the supernatural take place in your life and through your life. It's not going to be through you taking the lead for a little bit, then allowing God to take the lead for a little bit, then you take the lead for a bit, and then it goes down and down and then straight, and then we get to the end. And yeah, it's not like horse racing. It's actually through allowing the Holy Spirit to take the lead always. I know it's easier said than done. But I know if your spirit's like my spirit yearns for something more than just the good life. It yearns to see what God can do in and through my life. You know, I love what C.S. Lewis said. If I can find in myself desires nothing in this world can satisfy, I can only conclude I'm not made for here. If you're finding in your spirit desires that nothing in this world can satisfy, no job, no relationship, no house, no promotion, brings temporary happiness but not eternal joy, then we can only conclude that God needs to take the lead in greater levels in your life and through your life. I want to close on this scripture and I want to pray for some people. In the book of Corinthians, I love what it says concerning spiritual gifts. It says, "Now about gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed." This is a great passage, chapter to read. This is Corinthians 12 in the first book of Corinthians. "I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagan, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus be cursed. And no one who says Jesus is Lord is except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but they're the same Spirit distributes them all. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good." In other words, for others. "To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge, by this means the same Spirit, another the gift of faith, to another the gift of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, and another speaking in different kinds of languages or tongues, and still to another interpretation of tongues. All these are at work of the one and the same Spirit, and He distributes them to each one as He determines." I believe that God wants to give gifts to people tonight. I remember about 6 months ago, I was praying for a bunch of people at this night service to receive gifts from the Holy Spirit. And maybe you feel like that maybe you were there that night. Maybe you felt like you received a gift, but you've just placed it on the shelf. I want to encourage you to take it down, open it up, and allow God to lead you in it. Because if we're going to run this race that God has called for us, if we're going to see Hobart encounter the love of Christ, if we're going to see people out there come to salvation, then part of it is going to be found through a platform of the supernatural taking place in our lives. Just in the same way in that book of Acts story that I shared, where there was a miracle that took place, chains fell off, doors opened up, but it wasn't for their own, oh, look, we got out of jail free card. It was so that they could preach the good news. And that brought freedom and salvation to these guards that otherwise never would have heard the good news of Jesus Christ. The miraculous will take place in your life and through your life so there can be a platform of the good news of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to ask the band just to come up. I'm going to ask Joey to start playing some spiritual keys like he was before. But I just want to pray for people to receive something from God tonight. But more than just receive it, actually operate in it. Operate in healing. Operate in faith. Operate in the prophetic. Operate in tongues. I love how it talks about tongues, that it builds up our spirit, man. We need to be praying in tongues more, church. I'm saying that for myself as well. We need to be praying in the spirit more. So just in this room here tonight, I just want to encourage or ask everyone just to close your eyes for a moment. And just allow your spirit to be open to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Not being distracted by people around us, but just listening to the Spirit of God. God wants to give good gifts to His children. We are His children. He wants to pour out His Spirit on all flesh. He wants young men to have dreams, visions. Old men to have dreams and visions. He wants to move mightily in this city. He wants to move mightily in and through your life. So we have a spirit of expectation here. I'm just going to ask the Holy Spirit to come and bring gifts to people. Let me encourage you. Don't close your life off to the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Open it up and see what He can do. Don't just have a spiritual Sunday. Have a supernatural every day. God, I just thank You for every single person here. Every single person here, God, that You have a plan for them. You have a purpose for them. That You have good works in mind for them. And God, we thank You that it's not just going through emotion and achieving good things, but it's a platform of the supernatural that You want to start seeing built in their lives, God. We pray for prophetic words to be spoken. We pray for people right now to receive the gift of healing, to be able to have the audaciousness that when in the workplace, they don't wait to a Sunday to pray for it, they see it in the workplace. They'll step out in faith and say, in Jesus' name be healed. In Jesus' name be healed. And see healings take place, God. For people that are in bondage, chained up with depression, anxiety, fear, God, that You would give people faith to see miraculous things take place, to see people set free of those things. So Holy Spirit, we ask that You would equip people, You would give that gift to people, but then help them operate in it so they're not just praying for it on a Sunday, but they're seeing it on a Wednesday, God. They're seeing wonders on Wednesdays. They're seeing miracles on Mondays. They're seeing the fire of God fall on people on Fridays. God, we want to see a supernatural every day. So God, we thank You for each and every single person here. Holy Spirit, we ask that in this time of worship that we're about to have, that You draw near to people, God, that as people recognize in their own spirit that they haven't been filled with the power of the Holy Ghost, that as they come up the front and allow leaders to pray for them, Holy Spirit, that You would respond to their expectation, You would respond to their anticipation, You would respond to their faith and fill them with the Holy Ghost. So God, we thank You so much for each and every single person here. So I'm going to invite every single person, let's stand and worship. But if you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit tonight, let me encourage you to come up the front. I would love to pray with you. If you know that you've been spiritually starving yourself, then I'd love to pray with you. If you know that you've been led more by the flesh and not by the Spirit, I'd love to pray with you. We're going to worship together. So if you feel like you need prayer for any of those three things, let me encourage you to come up the front and we're going to pray together.